Hey David, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I don't know why the camera's not working. Oh, because I need to turn it on, right? Yep, there we go. I'm going to turn it around so you could take attendance. How's that sound?
Take attendance. Okay. Like my background? Can you see
Oh,
me?
yeah. Whose P3 is that?
That's the one I was flying on this morning.
Is that NASA's or
Yep.
they got a P3. Everybody, they're getting rid of P3s, aren't they?
Well, yeah, NOAA, I think is, but
Okay.
they're gonna keep this one for a little bit. But we are flying for 5 hours on this morning.
Holy moly.
Yep. So,
Do they have a flight? I know NASA used to have people actually, if you have a certain number of people on the airplane, they have to have flight attendants and everything and all that.
yeah. Well, just wait. They just bought a 777. NASA did.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that has a 20-hour duration, three
Those
flight crews.
are some long legs.
Yep.
That's longer than the
Glidar.
Mooney. Yeah.
Yeah, 20 hours, three flight crews. But I
Holy.
thought I'd make the students jealous that I was going to pull up the see anybody pull up the flight track from this morning on I didn't quite get that to get them in there. I suppose I can.
Oh, hey David, by the way, congratulations on your new appointment.
Yeah, I saw the dean sent that out today.
Does that mean you're going to give up this class then, teaching?
Well, I don't know. It's 10% of my time, so it's one class, so I think I can probably handle this class and the extra 10% work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I haven't taught weather mod in probably about 40 years. I
Oh,
covered life, I think, back in 1992. So that's 30 years. Sorry, 30 years. I did that one semester. That was a fun semester, dude.
what's the tail number? I got to remember the tail number of the airplane. I know it's N426. Yeah, so it should be good. NA. So yeah, we are flying for 5 hours, and we're trying to do a flight Thursday night on this kind of a nor'eastern snowstorm that's coming. So oh yeah. Well, yeah, FlightAware has us 4 hours and 53 minutes. Yeah, I got it. So,
Question.
yes.
Do you wear a tie when you fly as flight scientist?
Huh?
Do you wear a tie when you fly as flight scientist?
Well, today I wasn't flying as flight, or I was probe scientist today, I guess.
A probe scientist.
We
That
they
sounds
call
like
it, NASA calls them mission scientists,
a
so.
mission scientist. Yeah, okay.
No, we don't. I saw the dean also put out the email about the appropriate attire. So today, right after he made the other announcement, so I figured that I did come back to the hotel. So that's one reason for the virtual background is I thought it was better than a brewery background in my room here. So, but yeah, I so yeah, we were flying up there. We took off at 7 and had a nice 5 hour flight, and only two of my nine instruments had issues. So,
You can take naps on the flight. That's what David Kopp used to do when he was, not David, what was his name? Roger Kopp.
And yeah.
Full citation. When I was flying scientists or flying right seat, he would sit in the back of the nap.
Yeah, well, if we do an overnight flight on Thursday night, they're thinking they might start like 10, 11 p.m. and fly all night for 8 hours. So I was thinking I need one of them lawn chairs. Is it would have placed by one of the racks that I could go and kind of nap out. Either that or bring a hammock or something to string up there. And so, yeah. But we got lots of room in the airplane. It's not how we filled with 19 people in it. So, and we don't have that many instruments. So, lots of room for napping. It's just the turbulence might keep me awake. But if I had a good place, I could. And if none of our instruments had issues, the students could just go and take care of everything, and I could take a long nap, huh?
Hey, it's 4 o'clock. You can get started now.
Okay, I get started. Thanks, Fred, for setting this up. Fred Remus sitting there. I'm here remotely in Virginia. I see some people in the classroom. And it's me and Fred were chatting. I'll be there next Tuesday. Welcome to Applied Weather Modification. And everything. Speak up. I can see everybody if you got questions. But I thought I'd give an introduction today and go over the syllabus. And I will actually, Fred will like this. I got a little assignment for everybody, first day of class. But I won't tell you it because you ought to start ahead of time. So everybody can hear me. Any questions to begin with? Sorry I'm not there, but I've been, as Fred was saying, frying around. But any questions to begin with? And everybody is just silent. I see one person online. So the other thing, since I'm remote today, we will have the option, if you have to miss class, I'll go over that in a syllabus, to log in remotely. Since I'm recording this, I got that set up and stuff. So with that, I'll share my screen. This is kind of the reverse. Hopefully this will work. Share screen. And can you see that? I think. I like to start out like Fred was saying. We're talking about the P3 aircraft, the P3 Orion that NASA owns. That was my background. I just pulled it up as we are talking to pull up the flight tracks, since I know most of you are pirates, are interested in aviation and flying airplanes. So I got the tail number N426ND that we flew this morning out of Wallops, which is on Virginia coast. So Delaware is here, Maryland, and we are actually in Virginia. And we took off, went out on the corridors. We couldn't get, a lot of times, Fred, we fly in the military airspace where they train the fighter pirates from Langley and other places. But such nice weather, the military kept their airspace today. So we had to go out past the military airspace. So no one asked me questions. I don't know if you can see this, but we did, I think, 8 back and forths or legs on this. You see all the turns. Does anybody know why this is a research atmospheric weather? So I'll ask you questions. What are we doing and going back and forth? And if you care, it's at 24,000 feet. Any ideas, anybody?
Are you collecting data?
Yes, we are collecting data. We have many instruments on the aircraft, and we are actually doing a northeastern snowstorm study for NASA for this. So we're studying snowstorms in the northeast, but there was no snow today. But we are collecting data. What type of data do you think this would be useful for?
Are you calibrating your instruments?
Yes, this is a calibration maneuver. I don't want to, it's a pretty hard question to answer, but I'll give you the instrument we're calibrating is to calculate atmospheric winds. So what do you think happens with the atmospheric winds if you go one direction and turn your airplane around and go the other direction?
It should equal zero.
They should be the same. So if you, but I think what you meant was if you subtract one from the other, you should get zero. But they should be the same. And so that's basically what they were doing was checking that or calibrating so that we get zero winds. And we did that for back and forth for 2.5 hours or something ridiculous. And then we did go up a little bit to the north. And the most exciting part for myself was that we did some, we got into some mid-level crowds and were able to check the images and the data for our crowd probes, which is what I do a lot of. So that's kind of an introduction for today. Give you a good idea before I talking about the crash. Any other questions about that?
I actually have a question. Is the research you're doing just for NASA, or is it like generally weather or weather modification specifically?
This is nothing to do with weather modification, unfortunately, but it has to do with weather and weather research. We're doing a research project, and I didn't mention it, but on Thursday, NASA also has another aircraft called the ER-2, which flies very high, typically up there about 70,000 feet. But they carry a whole bunch of satellite simulators, radars, remote sensing instruments that you would like put on satellites that NASA has. So on Thursday, we hope to do coordinated flights where the P3 is in the snowstorm and the ER-2 is above with the remote sensing instruments so that we can get an idea what the satellites are seen in detail with the aircraft. So nothing to do with weather modification. However, a lot of weather modification, as we'll talk about, is based upon research and research projects that are done with aircraft. And sometimes you do operational weather modification and mix that with research projects. So that's how I get involved in a lot of weather modification operations, is that they have a research component to that. And we use a lot of similar instruments when we study weather modification as we do for studying snowstorms, for example. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I've got a question.
Yeah.
What kind of airplane is an ER-2?
Oh, it's a older U-2 spy plane. So if you heard about the U-2 that they have, it's similar to the P-3 Orion's is an ex-military aircraft that they've used for submarine hunting. ER-2 is very unique in that it has very long wings and it can fly in a stratosphere. And basically, the a single pirated aircraft. One pirate, he basically wears a spacesuit almost, up. And one of the things we have to worry about on Thursday is that there's a big line of thunderstorms going across the airport in Georgia, where the ER-2 is based. And they do not want the pirate getting into the airplane when there's a major downpour happening. So we have to wait until after that thunderstorm passes before he can get in the plane and take off. But it's kind of a unique experience working with that aircraft and seeing it take off even. Unlike our P-3, the instrument operators cannot fly on the ER-2, so everything's remotely operated. Other questions? Is that getting enough, Fred?
That's enough.
Yeah. Other questions? I'll have to bring up both flight tracks on Thursday or next week after we do our flight on Thursday, and a possible one on Saturday night too. On to the class a little bit. Let me go back and find where I'm at. So we have a Blackboard site. If I can pull this up a little bit. So you should have access to the Blackboard. I have the announcement in there. And one of the things is that's important is the crash site link. I'm using Blackboard for handing out the grades and for the exams. So please make sure you can sign in and get the link for the class. And there should be a link also to the Zoom sessions available on the site, along with the syllabus. I got my contact information there. And then on Thursday, again, I won't be there, but Lucas Castro will be back from the American Meteorological Society meeting, and he's going to give a special lecture. He's the teaching assistant. He's an undergraduate, but he was one of the interns for the North Dakota project last summer. So he's going to go over and give you a overview of what it's like to be a pilot and be involved in an operational weather modification project. So hopefully that's motivation to learn all the material and stuff we're going to cover. So that's the that. And then I guess the main thing is look at the CRAS website, and then we'll look at the syllabus. I'll pull up. Oh, I guess I don't have it anymore. This is my homepage. If you go to my department homepage, is another way to find it, and go into teaching and the class spring 2023 site. I have the Blackboard links, the Zoom links on here. Link to the North Dakota weather modification website. And I'll put some other links on here. And the other thing I'll keep on here is a schedule with all the material that we covered. Looks like I got an extra Z right there. I got to correct. On there. And then I will also post the Zoom recordings on the website for each day. So before I go to the syllabus, any questions about the Blackboard site or Zoom or the class website? Kind of what a boring to go through some of this. I'll try to speed up here a little bit to cover the syllabus. What's the important thing? Tuesday and Thursday class meeting time 4 to 5:15. Stop by that time because it's late in the day. Office hours before that, or if you want to do arrangements, you can also try to contact my Zoom room. Give me a call, text, emails, probably the best. If that works. And what's the important stuff here? So please try to come to class. I will try to be there. But I couldn't this week because we're still trying to get all our instruments working. Videos will be posted online, but please come to ask questions and take part in the class because that's very important. Not taking attendance, but we'll note that, and we might consider that for if you're kind of on a borderline between two grades. No, why does it perfect up? So grade in, basically to work out to the percentage of 90 and above is an A and 80 is a B, 70 is a C and 60 is a D. And I'm going to break the grades up between quizzes, exams, and a final exam. Hopefully we'll have lots of quizzes. So the assignment today is a little 5-point quiz that I'll talk about at the end. So 20% of the grade, give you experience and try to answer questions that are going to be similar to what's on the exams, all multiple choice quizzes, and probably most of the exam questions, if not all of them, will be multiple choice. And then we'll have a final exam. So hopefully three exams during the semester and a final. And then I try to make these all comprehensive, which means I'll focus on the latest material with questions, but you need to review previous content because there'll probably be some questions over the past material. So I know students are interested in grades. Are there any questions about the grading and the format for the grades? No one's saying anything. The other thing is that I said we're, like today, we're maybe have hopefully a short little discussion of something at the beginning. Wait until people come in. And well, sometimes maybe do quizzes in class or take home. There'll be a variety of formats and styles to the quizzes. Discuss topics. Please ask questions. Find out the answers if I don't have them. But the objective is to cover a Pride weather modification. So we're going to talk about some of the theory of crowd physics, seeding of it. So there's going to be some more academic course theoretical work, but also a lot of practical, how you do render programs, and also legal, social, economic, history of weather modification is one of the topics that we will start with. So very practical, how you do this, but it won't all be just how do you conduct freight operations to seed crowds, for example. And why? Make it like, I don't know. Anyway, I guess you can see most of it. Goals is to learn that theoretical basis of the weather modification field. Second goal is to learn how projects are established and conductive, how you do the projects. I've been fortunate enough to be on projects for, 3 months at a time. Usually I'm analyzing data, doing some research that's revolving around the projects. And then learn how to participate in a project, particularly the North Dakota weather modification project. Provide some learning outcomes there. What you should get after the end of the cross, and how you find seeding opportunities, how you conduct the operations, and particularly with a focus on using aircraft. And then, of course, we're not going to use any formal textbook in the class. So everything's basically open educational research. I'll post a lot of stuff on the website, links to materials, videos, and resources for that. So no physical textbook. And then I gave a different blocks of material that we'll cover, with the idea that hopefully at least at the end of block 1, 2, and 3 that we can have exams for that, with block 4 maybe additional material that would only be covered on the final exam. So kind of the new materials between each exam is the way I'm thinking about the blocks. And hopefully, unlike last year when we had, I think, 3 Tuesdays called off during the semester, we'll have a lot of class meeting times this semester and won't lose any meeting times. So the basic idea of the class is, we're going to start off pretty light, like I said, introduction with today, and then the internship experience. That's what Lucas is going to cover on Thursday, what it's like. And then next week, we'll start with the history of weather modification, legal aspects, social, the economics of why we do weather modification, unintended weather modification. So when you do projects, you intend to do the weather modification, and otherwise you don't. So that's be a first block, and that won't be too bad. But before I continue, is there any other questions about the material, the learning outcomes. This first block should take us hopefully about 3-4 weeks to get through, so we can have an exam at the beginning of February-ish. So, any questions? So, Fred, you got any questions? I got one if no one else asked me questions.
Yeah, I've got a question.
Yeah.
If I wash my car, will it rain?
Well, no, but if you plan a research project, whatever you're researching will not happen. So if you don't want it to rain, plan a research project with rain. If you don't want fog, like last year I did, we had one fog case that we couldn't forecast for the whole season. And 2020, we did the first of the impacts project, and there was very little snow that year. So and then we took off for 2021 because of COVID, and there was lots of snow. Yeah, don't do that when you want to. So if you wanted to rain, I guess do a field project studying drought or something. Has anybody heard about the flooding and stuff in California? Anybody have relatives in California or family or come from California?
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's so bad that it affects our flights out here this morning. NASA Ames, their entire facility had lost power this morning, and that's where the data server for our that runs the downlink. We have a satellite downlink from the P3 aircraft to all the scientists around the world that gets ran through a server at NASA Ames, and the whole building, the whole facility was out of power this morning at the 7 a.m. flight takeoff time. So not good out there right now from what I hear. So that's one thing happening in news. I guess I got another little news item. I like to, you know, kind of look at contemporary issues and illustrate the unintended weather modification aspects. So when you do projects, we intend to increase precipitation or reduce hail. So on my website, I got in the news links here. So the question I have, has anybody heard in the last week or two, there's been some newspapers coming out with this. I have a link to MIT Technological Review, which I think I can bring up in another tab here. And I guess this is not really unintended weather modification, but more of a intended or a maybe intended topic related to what we're calling geoengineering now. So I guess kind of defining what we mean by weather modification, it's the intentional changing of weather results in terms of local effects, in terms of precipitation, snowfall, fog amount, or hail, reducing hail. But it's typically done on a local or regional scale, something that's on a county-wide basis or something. We're not talking huge, you know, size regions like the United States. And then geoengineering is more of a global long-term effect that they can intentionally or unintentionally change climate and the global scale of things. So this one's kind of interesting. So that's why I'm illustrating, is to tell you the difference between what we call weather modification and geoengineering. I don't think they have, they got a pretty good picture of a cloud there, but not much else. You can read through the article. Has anybody heard about geoengineering before? How many people have heard of geoengineering? And I can't see hands, but Fred, how many people have heard about geoengineering?
Nobody.
Nobody. Okay. Well, that must be an exam question here. So in this context, what they're trying to do is, like the article says, quote unquote, tweak the climate, change the climate. One of the things that's of a climate concern now is the increased temperatures of the climate over the globe on a long-term basis, that the temperatures are increasing at the surface. And so that's has some negative effects if you get warmer conditions. However, I think sometimes in January, we'd like it to be a little bit warmer in North Dakota. This is an effort to put what are particles up in the atmosphere, the particularly the stratosphere, the large ray, or the atmosphere, to reflect particle sunlight back into space. So when we do weather modification, we also release particles into the atmosphere, but our particles are a lot different, and they released in a different location and for a different purpose than what these guys are doing. And they're using balloons to bring particles up in the atmosphere. And they are more of, the reason why it's making news is because it's not like a research study. It's more of a company that's trying to do this to get people to pay them to do this activity. And the people are coming back and saying, well, we need to do a lot more research on this topic before you start doing something that you really don't understand. So likewise, we have to understand what happens and the consequence of the weather modification, which we probably understand a lot better than what they are trying to do for the climate. So read the article. I thought that's good. What a break for the topic. So, okay. Want to make this, we won't take the whole time period today, but what is next on the agenda is, after we go through, and I'll probably be covered on tests, you know, the difference between unattended, attended weather modification, geoengineering, kind of define what water modification is, and then some statistical analysis of projects. Block two is probably the hardest part of the class because it'd be the most theoretical, lots of science terms, normal atmospheric particles are like, how we use them to seed clouds, change precipitation, nucleate particles, nucleate ice particles to produce snow at the surface. So a lot of basis of the techniques and the theory behind operational programs and the methodologies that are used. So, you need to, you really focus on that material because it's, it can be quite in depth and challenging. But you need to remember your previous weather and cloud formation and theories that we talked about it in the introduction classes, right, Fred?
Yeah.
So don't forget what you already learned. Then we get a little bit larger scale in terms of precipitation processes, clouds. And then we talk about what we call conceptual models because we don't want to really go into details of numerical or complex mathematical models, but more of, you know, how do we think about the processes that are going on in a conceptual way. Talk about the North Dakota project and their models. And that'd be another block. And then at the end, with block four, very practical, you know, what exactly are the seeding methods? How do you use dry ice? How do you use different techniques to dispense materials? How do you target and use radars to target storms? And of course, when you do operations and all this stuff, you got to keep records. And hopefully, Dan or someone from the North Dakota project will give us a details on how they do that. They have lots of records because that's a federal requirement of any program that they got to keep records. Also, you got to understand the forecasts. So even if you're just frying, we always have the pirates sitting on our weather forecasts for the NASA projects. Operations. And then hopefully the plan would be at the very end for Lucas Castro to come back again and give a case study example of a storm that he was involved with during his internship and give you all the details of what happens and how you understand and put everything together in terms of the theoretical with the applied and practical applications of how you actually do a case where you have a storm that you are conducting operations on. So any questions about the syllabus and what's covered? Is there anything that you want covered that you don't see where it would fit into this? So Fred, is this what you remember from 40 years ago when you covered it, or was it a lot different?
30 years ago.
So
that's pretty much the same. We actually had two weather model classes back then.
Yeah. So I think they expanded a lot of class on the block two and into three was covered in one class. So that's another reason why, even though I shortened up some, it's still quite a bit of material. Okay. So I got that. Got the website. I think I'll save videos until I'm there because they work better. I guess the last thing on the topic on the CRAS website. Oh, let's see. I go to the website and I think I have it listed here. So we did the introduction, CRAS syllabus. What we need to do now is we have an assignment that you need to complete. I wrote a quiz, and thanks to Fred, he taught me all about the respondents lockdown browser and how to set up these exams. So I'm going to set up a bunch of quizzes beforehand. And since everybody that's here, I didn't actually put too much on the, on what it is, but this, if you go on a quiz, hopefully it's visible to you now. It requires one of the lockdown browsers where I did allow iPads. So hopefully everybody's familiar with these now. But this is another way to get familiar because we use that in the exams, except you have to come to class for the exam. This one you can take anytime. Item is hidden from students. Do I have to unhide that? Does anybody make available? Okay, I got to make this available to you. There you go. Now you should be able to see it. It's only 5 questions, and you can take them as often as you want until Thursday at 4 p.m., which is the time we'll meet. And it takes the last score that you submit. So obviously, keep taking it until you get 5 out of 5. And the answers are on the syllabus. So that's the assignment beforehand. And if you have a computer, I imagine everybody's trying to do it already. And if you don't have, if you have problems, I think the IT technical support people can help them since I'm not there. What's the best way to get that help? Is it the, it's usually the, what's the group on campus for that? The, Tadar people, right? But I think they have a place in aerospace too, or
SCC.
The SCC will do it too, but Tadar, they'll just refer you to the Tadar. And I'm there's a I think there's a link on my on the site that they left. Student support resources. So I think that's visible. So check that out. So any concerns or questions about the exam or the quiz? So the idea is that you'll probably have a quiz, some type of assignment where you basically will have quizzes and questions to answer after every class or two. 5 to 10 questions. And if you want to then know what the exams will be like, be similar type of questions or maybe even the same question, but in class and no notes and one time chances. So these quizzes may have different formats in the sense that you may have to do them during class. So please, if you can't make a class or you can't watch it online, let me know ahead of time. And if you can't make the exams, let me know ahead of time. So make plans beforehand. So that's a big key thing. Do things before class and before the exams. Because like last year, they had people that were in the, I think it's the aerobatics team that had to miss one of the exams. So, okay, any other questions? We can end early today. Give me a few minutes in case I go a few minutes past when I'm there. So, and I'll try to give a little break if the class is a little bit longer, and take a few minutes, show a video, take a little break, because I know a hour and 15 minutes is a long time to listen without doing this stuff. And it's harder for me to see because I can't see questions, but I'll stop sharing. See if my screen goes back to my nice airplane so that I can sit like in the cockpit. And if you see it, my favorite instruments are underneath the wings on the airplane. So we have exterior instruments there on the airplanes. And I can, oh, now I can see it a little bit bigger after I stop sharing my screen. So four engines, so we don't have to worry too much about losing the engines. So very ruggedized airplane, but hopefully I will be able to log in on Thursday, unless I'm still trying to catch up on my sleep. But I think we'll have to work around the flight, and hopefully I'll be not too early in the day on Friday morning. So, questions? If not, I'll just say goodbye, and Fred will be there to help out, and we'll see everybody next Tuesday in person. I'll be back in Grand Forks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, David. Thanks, Fred. Yeah.
No problem.
Thanks a lot, Fred.
Yeah.